Thank you, and good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure for me to welcome you to today's call, where we will update you on how trading has progressed in the third quarter of 2015. In terms of overall evolution, group revenues were up by 10% in the third quarter compared to the same period in 2014, and that is pretty much in line with the growth pattern that we have achieved and observed in the previous quarters of this year. The biggest increase in percentage terms came in Energy & Surface Technologies, where we continued to generate very strong growth in sales of cathode materials for rechargeable batteries, and also saw strong revenue growth in the Cobalt & Specialty Materials activities. In Catalysis, we also had a strong increase in revenues, actually the biggest increase in absolute value, and this was primarily due to the combined effect of volume increases as well as product mix improvements in the automotive catalyst activities. These increases more than offset the lower revenues in Recycling, which were the result of lower metal prices and the impact of the extended shutdowns at the Hoboken operations. The capacity expansion investment in Hoboken is proceeding according to plan, and we now start to see the first benefits of these investments in terms of throughput. Other growth investments in automotive catalysts and in rechargeable battery materials are either on or ahead of schedule. From a financial perspective, our level of debt at the end of the quarter was somewhat higher than at the end of June, and that was the result of the interim dividend payment and the share buybacks. From an outlook perspective, as we get close to year-end, a number of uncertainties that were discussed back in early August have now been lifted. One of them was the possible impact of the slowdown in the Chinese automotive market. While there was some impact in the third quarter on our catalyst demand, the first signs of improvements are already there, and overall demand and mix continue to be very supportive in automotive catalysts. The other question mark was about metal prices, and there, unfortunately, the headwinds have become somewhat stronger. This is particularly the case in secondary materials, the demand for which has evaporated with an immediate impact on Recycling margins. As a net effect, I now expect full-year recurring EBIT to be towards the middle of the range of 310 million-340 million euro. With that, I would like to let Filip, our CFO, guide you through the evolution in each of the business groups.
Thank you, Marc, and good morning, everyone. Let's start our business overview with Catalysis, where revenues were up by 19%. Revenues for automotive catalysts increased considerably year-on-year, benefiting from strong demand for our catalysts for light-duty vehicles and a more supportive product mix in that segment. In Europe, Umicore's volume growth was driven by the ongoing introduction of Euro 6b compliant diesel platforms and the success of the gasoline platforms introduced earlier in the year. We also outperformed in the North American and the South American markets due to a favorable platform mix. In China, the overall car market stagnated in the quarter. While domestic brands continued to see some growth, sales by global manufacturers decreased, leading to slightly lower Umicore revenues. Recently introduced government incentives are expected to support a pickup in demand. The overall revenue growth in the quarter in automotive catalysts can also be partly attributed to the heavy-duty diesel segment, where we benefited from a further ramp-up in production in Europe and in Asia. In terms of investments, construction of the new technology development center in South Korea and the new production plant in Thailand are progressing according to plan. In Poland, our investment was already completed and production started well ahead of schedule. Turning now to Energy & Surface Technologies, revenues in this segment were up by  24%. Revenues in rechargeable battery materials gathered further momentum from the second quarter and were well up year-on-year, reflecting strong volume growth. Much of this growth came in nickel manganese cobalt cathode materials that are being used in batteries for electrified vehicles as more and more new electrified models are being introduced. While the total market shipment levels of portable devices showed some signs of stagnation, demand for Umicore's high-energy lithium-cobaltite materials used in batteries for high-end portable electronics was up. And this was driven by the introduction of new smartphone and tablet models. The capacity expansion projects in South Korea and China are on track and are scheduled to come on stream between now and mid of next year. Revenues for cobalt and specialty materials were also up year on year. This was driven by a high contribution from the cobalt and nickel refining and distribution activities, including the businesses that we acquired in the second half of last year. However, price pressure in some end markets and lower metal prices had a negative impact on margins. Revenues for electro-optic materials remained well up year on year, supported mainly by a high contribution from the recycling and refining activities and increased sales of high purity chemicals that are used in the fiber optic industry. Revenues in both electroplating and thin film products were up slightly, with no significant changes in the demand patterns seen earlier in the year. Passing on to recycling now, revenues were down 12% year on year, and mainly in precious metals refining due to lower prices and lower demand for specialty metals, as well as the impact of the extended shutdown in Hoboken. A second wave of investments was successfully carried out in the summer, and the overall Hoboken capacity expansion program is on track. The supply mix remains solid for both the recyclables and byproduct segments, with an increased proportion of higher grade and more complex feed year on year. Our expectation remains that the higher throughput rates achieved following the investments should ensure that process volumes in Hoboken for the entire year will be similar to those of 2014, hence offsetting the impact of this year's double shutdown. Looking at the other business units in the segment, revenues for jewelry and industrial metals were lower as a result of less contribution from the recycling activity, while lower revenues for technical materials and platinum engineered materials reflected reduced demand in certain key end markets. Finally, precious metals management recorded higher sales volumes for most PGMs. This was driven by continued strong demand from the automotive industry. In the zinc activities, which you know are now reported as discontinued operations, combined revenues were up slightly on the back of higher sales in zinc chemicals, while in building products, revenues were stable despite persisting challenging conditions in the European construction sector. Our Element 6 abrasive joint venture, which is now reported under the corporate line, experienced a challenging quarter with revenues well down, and this was mainly due to the reduced orders from customers in the oil and gas drilling sector. That covers the evolution of the various businesses, and I now hand back to Mark for the wrap-up.
Thank you, Philip. So we can see that from a revenue perspective, we have done well in the third quarter with strong progression in catalysis and in energy and surface technologies, more than offsetting the lower revenues in recycling. All of our major investment projects are either on track or ahead of schedule. We are remaining vigilant, of course, as markets remain volatile, not least the market for precious and specialty metals. While metal price headwinds have undeniably become stronger in the third quarter, demand patterns in catalysis and in energy and surface technologies remain very supportive, and all in all, I can confirm that full-year earnings will be towards the middle of the previously stated EBIT range of 310 to 340 million euro. And with that, I can now turn the line over for any questions that you might have.
Thank you very much, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your call or your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. A couple of questions. Let me start with 4. The first is on the guidance. Obviously a small cut. Just wondering, is that solely due to the decline in specialty metal prices, or should we consider more factors? Second question is, if we look further out at 2016, at the half-year results, you provided an expected negative impact of 20 million from lower metal prices in euro terms. I was just wondering if you could provide us an update of that number at today's prices. Thirdly, on catalysis, are you seeing any impact of the diesel scandal at Volkswagen? And can I just pick your brain on what you think will be the impact on the diesel segment in the short to long term? And then to keep it with these 4 questions, a question on NMC, just wondering how much of the volumes are driven by China. Could you provide us a split of China and the business excluding China? Thanks.
Good morning, Mutlu. And so let me start with the guidance. When I gave the guidance, when I updated the guidance back in early August, I gave a range, indicating thereby that all areas of the range could be achieved depending on how certain uncertainties, certain parameters would play out. As I mentioned in my introductory remarks, a number of them have moved in the positive direction, and that is the case of the continuing very supportive demand in automotive catalysts and in rechargeable battery materials. A certain number of elements have played out less favorably, one of them being the demand in for secondary metals, which indeed has become a stronger headwind as we speak. So it's not that there are many elements at play there. Those that were uncertain in early August have become clearer now. Some of them have moved positively, some others have moved in the negative direction, and the overall result is that we see now ourselves ending up in the middle of the range, which, by the way, is very much in line with the consensus as I can read it. As far as next year is concerned, indeed, I gave an indication that back in August that at the then prevailing metal prices, the impact on the profitability would be in the region of 20 million next year. It's difficult to quantify how that has developed in the meantime, and let me explain that. When it comes to precious metals, the prices expressed in euros are largely unchanged, give or take a few percentage points, compared to when we spoke last. What has changed quite drastically in the meantime is the demand for secondary metals. It's not necessarily the price effect. The demand itself for certain of these metals has evaporated, so it's difficult to quantify. Suffice to say that, indeed, if I had to make a rough estimate, I would say today that the impact would be somewhat higher than 20 million. But I cannot give you a figure because part of that is directly price-related, and part of that would be a volume effect. In catalysis, we do not see, an immediate impact from the VW situation and the diesel discussions or debate that is ongoing. I think it's too early to say how things will play out in the short, medium, or long term. Clearly, as we indicated during the Capital Markets Day a month ago, or slightly over a month ago, in the long term, we believe we are extremely well positioned to benefit from any trend because we are positioned to support any drivetrain technology, whether it's cleaner combustion engines, whether it's hybrid or electric vehicles, or whether it's about fuel cell powered cars. So in the long term, we're not so concerned about, I would say, how things will play out, because there is only one trend which is certain. That's the fact that the world is moving in the direction of cleaner and cleaner vehicles, and we're positioned to address that trend. But again, when it comes to short or midterm impact, unfortunately, it's too early to tell how things will play out. And your last question was about the increase, the significant increase in NMC demand. It is fair to assume that a big chunk of that is driven by developments in China. As we mentioned on the prior occasions, this is partly driven by the introduction of e-bus fleets in a number of urban areas in China, and also the broader introduction of a larger number of electrified platforms in China and in other regions. But all in all, yes, it is fair to assume that China is a significant factor in the equation.
Thanks for the answers, Mark. Can I just follow up on the demand for the secondary metals? Can you elaborate what is going on? I mean, do you have an explanation or examples of certain end markets that are not there anymore?
Well, yes, indeed. There is much lower demand for selenium and tellurium, for indium-related, certain indium-related applications. In the case of tellurium, a big chunk of the tellurium is utilized in thin-film solar cell technologies. And in the case of selenium, it's partly related to the overall industrial output, and particularly in China. So that's there is an industrial component to the demand downturn. There is also an element of a stockpiling that had been done in China in the past couple of years, and that has for the time being come to a stop.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Peter Olofsson from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I had a question on the energy and surface technologies segment. I think last year you talked about some changes in seasonality in the battery materials business. So could you shed some light on how we should see Q4 developing in this respect? Is it fair to assume that the kind of growth rates that we saw in the first half and in Q3 will continue in Q4, or could it change because of seasonality?
Hi, Peter. There is indeed some seasonality, sometimes a bit less predictable than in the past, I would say. This being said, yes, we expect some seasonality effect on the growth rate in Q4. Should be somewhat more moderate than in Q3 and in Q2 this year. And the seasonality is to a certain extent related to the portable applications, and the fact that most OEMs have very strong sales towards the end of the year, the year-end sales season. And in order to prepare for that, they need a lot of battery cells being produced in the third quarter. So typically, the year-end season sale creates a significant peak in demand in Q3, which is not being repeated in Q4. And that explains many times on many occasions in many years, the seasonal effects. In the automotive sector, it's somewhat different. You don't see the same seasonality. And so that may mitigate a little bit the effect that would have been occurred in prior years, but there will be some seasonality indeed.
So overall, still strong growth in Q4, but not the 24% that we saw in Q3. Is that a fair summary then?
Yes, possibly indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Paul Walsh from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks a lot, guys. I just had a question around recycling business. If I understood you right, Mark, I think that you're sort of suggesting recycling EBIT starts 2016 with a 20 million euro plus REBIT headwind. Assuming, I mean, it's impossible to say where metal prices and various other variables end up for next year, but assuming, you know, extrapolation of current pricing, does the Hoboken expansion offset that, i.e., more than mitigate it? I mean, the bottom line is I'm looking at consensus numbers that are forecasting 10, 11 million year-on-year increase in EBIT in recycling, and I'm wondering, given your comments around the current headwind, whether or not that is whether that is possible or not.
Hi, Paul. I would say that it's a bit early, too early to provide detailed earnings guidance for next year. Suffice to say at this point in time that the expansion is on track and is starting to delivering the benefits in terms of throughput, as we had anticipated and commented on earlier. And you will have to bear with us a bit more before we provide
sure.
some detailed guidance in terms of how things will play out in terms of earnings.
And the volume comments you make with regards to that business, is it just the mix of volume deteriorates, or is it just that people stop doing stuff, i.e., how do those comments affect your ability to fill the incremental expansion?
Well, so far, what we observe is that the supply conditions remain supportive.
Mm-hmm.
So we do not see a risk of not being able to source the volume that we need for next year. This being said, I would say that a number of contracts are still in discussion, and we'll see how the industrial output will look like next year. You have also read or heard about some capacity closures in the mining and smelting industries. We don't see that having an effect for the time being, but I cannot rule out that things will develop differently in the course of next year. Again, there it's a bit early to tell. Suffice to say that at this stage, we don't see a risk in sourcing the required volumes.
Understood. Thanks very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Evgenia Molotova from Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Sorry, just two questions. In terms of just a kind of reporting question, can we expect at some point that you will split in battery materials, electronics, and electric vehicles, because they have different growth dynamics, I assume different profitability, and do you need to reach certain volume when you probably do this, because it would help us immensely. And the second question on ramp up of the smelter. So I assume, because you were intending to do it quite gradually, so I assume for the first kind of steps for the volumes that you already expect now, you already signed contracts, right? Thank you. Hello?
Hello, Evgenia, and let me start with the second question. Yes, we have made very significant progress in securing contracts for next year, and the proportion of contracts that have been secured is in line with what we would achieve, what we would have achieved in prior years at the same time of the year. So things look indeed good and in line with the ramp-up scenario that we have discussed, in particular during the Capital Markets Day.
Mm-hmm.
Let me now comment on your or respond to your first question. Breaking down the contribution from portable and automotive segments in rechargeable battery materials is not on the agenda today. I'm not prepared to do that, and perhaps one day when this business becomes so huge that there is a good justification to do that, but today it's not on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Tom Wrigglesworth from Citi. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much. It's actually Andrew Benson here. Thanks for taking the questions. I'm probably being a bit stupid here, but on the 2016 outlook, you're saying in excess of 20 million. Is that all encompassing? Is that the absence of hedges in the precious metals part of the refining that can cover, that can protect your earnings this year, in addition to lower specialty prices? So is that the totality of all the impacts year on year, as opposed to just lower specialty metal prices and some impact on volumes of some of the more novel specialty metals? That's the first question. Secondly, can you provide granularity on the catalysis with revenues up 90%? Insofar as you think you're able to do that or prepared to do that, in terms of the growth from legislation, so 6B driving growth, the mix effects in terms of whether you're gaining more diesel, whether you're gaining share, and then the FX as well. So if you can provide granularity, that'd be great. Thanks.
Hi, Tom. Let me first indeed clarify the 20 million plus indication for next year. This is meant to be all-encompassing indeed, in the sense that it includes the measurable metal prices effect and currency effects. So net amount of metals and currencies across the company, although most of that, the vast majority of that is going to be in the recycling segment. Now, as I mentioned or alluded to earlier, it is difficult to quantify what the volume effect, the demand effect may turn to be in secondary metals at this point in time. So I would say the 20 million is really the mechanical calculation related to the measurable metal price and currency effects. In catalysis, a big chunk of the growth in revenues this year is indeed the result of the introduction of new emission norms, and in particular Euro 6B, as we had indicated in the course of last year. We have won a number of platforms, of Euro 6B platforms, and have started the ramp-up of these platforms towards the end of last year, and the step effect on our revenues is indeed visible in 2015. So that's a big chunk of the growth is to be attributed to Euro 6B, and similarly, the contribution from the ramp up of heavy duty diesel is to a large extent the result of the introduction of Euro 6 in Europe. So that's a big chunk of the growth, and this aside of the impact of emission norms, it is fair to say that we're also benefiting from the recovery that we see in the European market, the continued supportive demand in the U.S., plus the mix effects in Europe being the fact that we have a higher share of diesel than we had in the past couple of years. And in the U.S., we have a more favorable platform mix than in prior years. I've mentioned in the past when we've had those effects that these can be temporary because they depend on how well some of the platforms are selling, and sometimes we are well positioned there. Sometimes we do not benefit from these platform swings. This time around, indeed, most of the parameters are moving in the right direction. When it comes to more structural market share gains, I would say that aside the heavy-duty area where we are a late entrant, and by definition, as we started from scratch, are taking away some market share, are taking market share away from our competitors. In the light-duty segment, the only area where we're truly and structurally winning market share is with the Japanese OEMs globally.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. We will now take our next question from Adam Collins from Liberum. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I've got three questions, please. First of all, could you help us understand how Element 6 abrasives performed in the third quarter relative to the first half? That's the first question. Second one, could you give some color on the significance of the secondary metals to recycling profits? I think a couple of years ago you talked about roughly three pots of profit of equal size, one of which was specialty, but since then trends have been negative. So is it still around a third of profits, or is it less than that in the recycling area? And then finally, a question on Euro 6b diesel and the VW issues. Are you able to sort of say whether the contribution from SCR at the Euro 6b level, the profitability of SCR is similar to LNT? There's obviously an expectation looking forward that SCR takes more share. They're the three questions. Thanks.
Good morning, Adam. So let me start with your question about Element 6 abrasives. The contribution in the third quarter was very low, very much depressed by the current trading conditions, in particular in the oil and gas drilling sector. So that was relatively lower than in the first half of the year, and is one of the elements that has played out unfavorably for us since the first half.
Yeah.
In terms of secondary metals, the relative size and the relative contribution of this bucket of metals in the overall profitability has shrunk by definition under the combined effect of lower demand, so lower volumes on one side and lower prices on the other side. So today, if I had to take a snapshot of what it is not one third anymore of the contribution of the metal price contribution indeed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of Euro 6B, it is difficult to compare or to single out the LNT or SCR components. Because the system is somewhat different whether you use an SCR or an LNT, and it's somewhat difficult to compare. But I would say that very roughly speaking, the contribution of an SCR is somewhat lower than that of an LNT.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Mark.
Which doesn't mean that the cost is lower, because the configuration is very different indeed. And by the way, you will also recall from previous discussions that LNT and SCR have different applications in terms of engine size, which makes the comparison also somewhat more difficult. So with LNT being more appropriate for smaller engines and SCR for a relatively larger engine.
Mm. Okay. No doubt we'll talk more about that. Thank you, Mark.
Indeed.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Mutlu Gundogan from ABN AMRO. Please go ahead.
Yes, a follow-up question on diesel. Volkswagen. Just wondering, I mean, there is talk that they potentially could recall millions of vehicles, and I know you don't want to talk about customers, but given that there only are three automotive catalyst companies, my question is whether you would be able to take on a part of those volumes if that would indeed be the case. The second question is on real driving emissions that is set for 2017. Clearly, a lot of discussion at the moment about regulation. Do you see any risk of that being pushed out or being brought forward? So do you see a change in that date? And then thirdly is on discontinued. Just wondering if you can provide us an update on where we stand with the divestments. I think that especially on zinc chemicals, you were optimistic whether that's still the case or not.
So from a technical point of view, we would be indeed able to to produce the additional pieces if there was a recall that would require catalyst to be replaced. And I'm actually glad that you raised the question, because it allows me to indeed repeat the message that the catalyst industry is going to be part of the solution and was not part of the problem. And of course, this would be a bit of a stretch for our teams, knowing, as we indicated in the past, that we have been working at full capacity and had to advance some of the capacity investment programs. But of course, with our new plant in Poland coming on stream a number of months ahead of schedule, this is something that we could definitely do. The real driving emissions, indeed, have been on the agenda for a while, and have now, given the recent scandal, been under or come under a different light. I think it would be difficult for the industry to bring them forward, because you need quite a bit of time, development, and certification work to adjust engine configuration and after treatment systems as well. And from a public opinion point of view and a political agenda point of view, I see it as highly unlikely and very difficult to push them out. So it will be an interesting situation where the industry will have to adjust probably very quickly to a changing situation, and trying to close the gap as much as possible between test emissions and the real driving conditions. On the divestment, Philip?
Divestment, Mutlu, we're on track, so we would refer to the comments we made the last time, which is that we would not run both in files together, so because of practical reasons. So zinc chemicals is the first file, and we're on track, and I would repeat the objective that we have, which is by the end of next year, find a good owner for the business.
Okay, thank you. Maybe a follow-up question on real driving emissions. I guess I'm becoming a bit older than I thought. I've already forgotten what you said explicitly on the Capital Markets Day on the impact of real driving emissions on the value of your business. So just wondering, given the scandal and given also that various other automotive OEMs don't meet the emission standards or the norms, just wondering what the impact would be on the value of the systems that you sell. Can you provide us a rough number for that, or an estimate?
I cannot provide the number, Mutlu, but I can repeat what we said at the Capital Markets Day, that a move to more stringent emissions and moving to real driving emission conditions is making emission more stringent, is positive for the catalyst industry, because it's driving complexity and value of the systems to be installed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Stephanie Bothwell from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. Good morning. Most of my questions have helpfully now been answered, but perhaps just one follow-up on metal prices and hedging. We heard in the earlier part of the year that you had hedged a significant portion of your metal price exposure for 2015. I just wanted to check in on, over the course of the last few months, whether or not you had indeed hedged any additional exposure for the 2016 period. Thanks.
So, Stephanie, no, we have not made any significant changes to our hedging portfolio when it comes to 16.
That's great. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Joe Dewhurst from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi. Okay. Good morning. Just one question. Just on the e-buses or the electric buses. Situation that you mentioned at the Capital Markets Day. More kind of an update on that. Kind of cities are trialing it, and how significant could it be? I mean, is this something that could be rolled out right across China? And then also on that, would this be a draw potentially on MNC technology, or NMC technology, or could it be maybe more favoring the lithium iron phosphate route, do you think?
Hi, Joe. I cannot give you a list of cities doing that now. It's just there is a trend that an increasing number of municipalities in China are making their bus fleet cleaner, and in doing so, are embracing the electrified drivetrain technologies. And as part of that, I would say that NMC is a chemistry that is that has a significant position in terms of technology choices. This being said, it's not the only one, and indeed some bus fleets are using lithium iron phosphate. But that is fits better, I would say, hybrid technology than full electric technology, because of the energy density and the drive range, the driving range that comes with it. So it's you have a number of competing technologies there, but I would say that NMC has a position of choice in that sub segment.
And would you say that, I mean, from a kind of a growth significance, I mean, would you say that this could become very, very significant next year, just from a growth trajectory point of view? I mean, could it be as much as what you're seeing from the pull from automotive?
Well, you know, the effect in terms of growth rates are already visible this year. I do not expect that to give us yet another boost in the coming years. I expect the trend to continue. In terms of, if you look at the long term, of course, for the volume of material, the quantity of material, the sheer volume of material that is required for every single bus that is being made is huge compared to a plug-in hybrid or an electric car. But if you look at the long-term trends, the number of cars that will be built with electrified drivetrains will outweigh the unit requirements per bus in a way.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. We will now take our next question from Wim Hoost from KBC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I have two questions on recycling. First, can you discuss the competitiveness for the various supply streams? I think like AutoCats has been quite competitive for quite a while, but can you maybe elaborate on the various key streams, how competitive pressure is developing? And certainly that question with regards to PGM-rich material. And second question is on the operation scheme for Hoboken. You now did two large shutdowns earlier this year. Would there be any additional need for maybe smaller shutdowns in the next few months or quarters to maybe fine-tune things, or are you now off for let's say a period of 12 to 18 months without significant maintenance or other shutdowns? Thank you.
Hi, Wim. So first of all, in terms of competitive pressure, you may recall that during the Capital Market Day, I mentioned that actually the competitive pressure on prices was somewhat different in a low price environment, because when the cake gets smaller for everyone, every stream of supply is under a higher scrutiny. And that's something that we start to see, that many or several of our competitors start to see that they are not making money with many of the recycling streams that they are addressing, and they have to become somewhat more selective. So I would expect that dynamic of a changing competitive pressure because of everybody operating in a low-price environment will play out in the future and will help us in the future, because several of our competitors will no longer be in a position to continue to do what they have been doing, which is being very aggressive on prices, and because that leads them now to losing money. In terms of the operating conditions for the Hoboken facility, we are planning to have one extended shutdown in the course of next year. As Luc Gallant indicated during the capital markets day, there is still one piece of investment that has to be done to complete the 100 million investment program and the capacity expansion program. So that will be done in the context of one shutdown in the course of next year. There may be some regular short and nothing out of the ordinary shutdowns in the course of next year to fine-tune how the facility works, but I do not expect that to be of any materiality.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. That will conclude the Q&A session today. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the call back to Mr. Greenberg for any additional or closing remarks.
Yes, and at this point, I would like to thank you for attending this conference call, and I would like to invite you to raise any follow-on questions to our investor relations team. So Evelyn will be available to answer your call and make sure that we provide a response to your questions and help you update your models as the need may arise. So thank you and have a nice day and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.